Yeah, but then
you think she just has Weight Watchers and that's it.
No, but
she's gonna have an army of nutritionists and a personal chef.
She's convincing people just to get Weight Watchers in order to lose weight, and I think that's misrepresenting herself.
she's doing a commercial.
Yeah, I love chips.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening and sharing it with a friend. Hopefully you have already done at least one of those things. Maybe even if you've listened to a couple of these episodes before, you've gone to the iTunes store and rating us, giving us a rating and review. And if you have, we appreciate it. And if you haven't, please do so. It really helps us out. All right, we're burning the midnight oil this week.
We
both have a busy weekend coming up. And particularly you. So we're trying to record this podcast in the middle of the week, which is tough. For both
of
us.
Yeah, especially since I worked late today. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, I'd say we're into late into the PM hours here. But we're going to get her done.
Yeah, we're
bringing it to you.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing this for you guys. Okay, so you should feel lucky. But yeah, you got your another yoga immersion weekend coming up.
I do. I have my second weekend, so it starts Friday night, and then it's all day Saturday, Sunday, and then next Thursday night. And I think compared to last time, I'm a little less intimidated because I'm more excited about some of the things I know that are coming.
Right, and we're prepared.
I kind of know, yeah, I'm a little bit more prepared.
Right.
But I'm not going to lie, like, losing your whole weekend still really sucks.
Yeah.
Especially since I've had to work some weekends recently, too.
Right. Yeah. No, I can see that. It's, when they say total immersion, they weren't joking.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, you're a little less, so there's more anxiety associated with it this time around. Less anxiety and more excitement is what I think I was trying to get across.
Yes.
But that's good. So maybe next week you'll probably let us know if you anything new came about in your immersion weekend, as much as you can let us know, because apparently it's a secret society.
It's a top secret, but yeah.
I hope
to learn some fun new things this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. And I am officially at Tampa Strength full-time now, or at least full-time in the morning time. So I have
your full-time fitness, though.
Oh, yeah. Fitness is full-time.
Full-time.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also at the gym here in Tampa Strength, called Tampa Strength. I'm there pretty much Monday through Friday, you know, 6 a.m. through 12 p.m. is where I'm available for training. Anybody out there, check us out, Tampa Strength.
Little plug.
Exactly.
This is not sponsored.
So we started this week. I had one client who's a 7 a.m. client. So she's starting this week, and I'm looking forward to working with her for the foreseeable future. She has they're very realistic fitness goals, and she's very dedicated. So I feel like we're gonna make some progress.
Yeah.
I'm also, I've been talking to another one of my clients, one of the concierge clients, and they want to start running on Bayshore, which everybody that doesn't live
so
in Tampa,
nice.
It's like just a prime real estate, little area right on the water, kind of like a river walk area.
Yeah.
That people have been running on in Tampa. It's kind of.
Well, technically Bayshore is along the Tampa Bay, and then Riverwalk is along the
right.
River.
Yeah. When I say river, I would say Riverwalk. It was more of a description of the. It's essentially
waterfront sidewalk.
What I've heard, and I don't know how true this is, but it's supposedly the longest continuous sidewalk in the world.
It's one of them. Yeah. Right. I think it might be like the second longest.
Yeah, because I feel like the Great Wall of China might be. Ooh, but I guess that's technically
not a
sidewalk.
Technically, yeah. I think. 5 miles of continuous sidewalk mm-hmm. is what Bayshore is.
Yep.
And that is really impressive. I mean, when you think about 5 miles.
Yeah.
I don't ever run 5 miles in one go, but knowing that there is 5 miles of continuous sidewalk is kind of extraordinary. And if that's not correct, then somebody can can give us the correct facts on that and let us know.
I remember because
that's what we've been told.
When I was training for my half marathon, that was, you know, that was my place where I ran and trained.
Yeah.
So I looked it up and it was right around 5 miles the length. So it was, like you said, you don't have to worry about cars or anything like that. The sidewalk is continuous. And there's no brakes for any traffic or anything out. You just got to maybe watch out for the bike coming by. But
I'm thinking I might need to do like an actual blog post like on my blog about Bayshore, because I feel like for people that aren't from here or haven't visited here, they don't really know what we're talking about. And it's not just a sidewalk. It's a wide sidewalk. There's plenty of buffer between you and the road, so you don't feel like you're running on the cusp of like heavy traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, another added bonus, across the street from Bayshore are big, giant, beautiful waterfront homes that make very lovely sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they've also turned Bayshore is technically, I think, a park for part of it because there's a big grassy strip and they have fitness fitness centers. Yeah. So, they've really done a lot to that area, and it is the fitness, and especially like I feel like a runner's, it's just a runner's dream.
Right.
It's nice and flat, minus the stinky pew sometimes that smells like
low tide. Yeah,
yeah, it's low tide. It's for people that like that smell, then you will freaking love it. So just make you feel like home.
But all that is very true, and actually I did write about it in one of my very first blog posts on elementaltampa.com. Obviously you'll do
make
a better job. Yeah. Well, thanks.
I
appreciate that.
I'll make it prettier.
belittling my attempt to write about it. I really appreciate
that. Mine'll just be prettier.
But yeah, I'm going to start doing that this in the morning time with one of my current clients. She wants to, begin running. So I was like, hey, I'll be, the gym, Tampa Strength's close to the Bayshore. So we'll meet up and run. So that's another interesting topic. Well, that brings us to another interesting topic is morning exercise.
Yes. And this is like one of our featured topics for today, really, because I think a lot of people question, you read a lot of articles, you hear a lot of people ask, when is the best time of day to work out?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure as a personal trainer, you have gotten that question before.
Yeah. And it's kind of your personal preference, really.
Yes.
It's like another one of those questions like, what's the best exercise to do?
Right.
Well,
the one you'll do.
Yeah, it's the one you'll do. So what's the best time to work out? The time that you're most likely going to work out.
Yep.
So, and they say, I'm of the approach that morning time is a little bit better, mainly because I feel my most energized in the morning. You don't let events during the day kind of or build obstacles during the day. You know what I mean? You don't let things creep in to prevent you from procrastinating. You know, those forms of resistance that eventually say, oh, I'll put the workout off till this time. And then by the time, 8 o'clock rolls down, you're like, oh, I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah.
So there's actually an article. Well, first, before we get to the article, what about you? What is your preference for exercise time?
Still is mornings, and I have been the person that's worked out at all kind times of day in the past, but I've always just loved morning workouts, even if it means back in the day, I used to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to like drive to the gym and go and work out for like an hour back when I had time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite thing about working out in the morning is that it puts you in a more positive state of mind. You have this huge endorphin rush after you work out.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel more positive about your day. You feel like ready to tackle the day. Plus, I think you make better decisions after you start the day off with a workout. You've just invested this time in really, your body and conditioning it. You feel stronger afterwards, even if you kick your butt on a workout. You don't want to go and make stupid decisions. You don't want to go and eat, messy food that's, you know, unnecessary fats and calories and carbs and all this extra stuff that you don't need. You want to fuel
right
what you did. So I think you make better decisions because of it.
You don't want to undo what you're the progress you made already.
Yeah, you know, it's just like you feel like well, I feel like I want to fuel myself versus overindulge.
Yeah, it's you accomplished something already, so it kind of sets you up for success for the rest of the day.
I'm pretty sure you see it in a lot of what successful people do.
Yes,
articles, because I read those all the time.
Right,
you see that they do morning workouts.
Yeah, and we did a little research, and there was a recent Shape.com article, and I know Shape, I mean, I don't know how reputable of a Shape, source.
No longer a magazine.
It's no longer a magazine?
I don't think so. I think either them or Health. One of them just went to purely online, but I think most people know them as a magazine.
Okay, so, obviously it's not a scientific journal or anything, but they had an article this
good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It said that you beat me to it. they had an article from earlier this year. It might have been from February of this year. So it was just last month. February 13th. Wow, this is really recent. And they listed several reasons why morning exercise is so beneficial. And like Shannon mentioned, every reason they gave, they cited scientific studies. So, you know, you know, even though Shape.com may be not the best, you know, peer-reviewed article or peer-reviewed site, they used a lot of peer-reviewed studies.
Yeah, very reputable sources.
Yes. So what they have, number one, is you'll consume fewer unnecessary calories.
Hey.
And that's what Shannon mentioned. And that's something we're going to probably, it's going to lead us into our next subject, but we're going to go through this list first. You'll be more active all day. I think you kind of mentioned something about that. Yeah. You'll burn more fat. So your body's in fat burning mode sooner. You know, you're burning metabolism, and depending on what depending on what kind of exercises you do, if you do like what we talk about zone two training, you're burning all the fat then. And if you do kind of high intensity stuff, and if you can control, you know, fight the urge to take in some bunch of sugar afterwards, you really can burn a lot of use more of your fat than just your sugar stores. Number four, they say lower your blood pressure. Obviously, that's good for a lot of people because I think that, hypertension is probably an issue that a lot of people face nowadays.
Yeah.
So lowering your blood, anything that'll lower your blood pressure that's not a medication, I'm all for. You'll sleep better at night.
Ooh, that is one. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, because they said they referenced this. They said the National Sleep Foundation says that evening workouts can boost the body's temperature and stimulate the body, which can make falling asleep more difficult.
I used to experience that when I worked out in the evenings. When I was training at night, I couldn't get to sleep when I needed to get to sleep.
Right.
And I was just perpetually tired getting up.
I felt the same thing. I used to, when I was training jiu-jitsu pretty regularly, our class wouldn't get out till 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then trying to come home and relax to come back down, especially when you're doing something like martial arts. It takes a while. So I definitely agree with that. It says you'll protect yourself. Number six, you'll protect yourself from diabetes. Obviously, you start building glucose. What does it say? Hitting the gym in the morning on an empty stomach also has been shown to protect against glucose intolerance and insulin resistance. Makes sense. You'll build muscle more efficiently. And finally, it says you'll tap into health benefits tied to exercise. I think that seems pretty common, right?
Yeah, it's basically saying, hey, you're exercising. Hey, you're exercising. Good job.
Yeah, increased immunity, longevity, and better mood. So the very first benefit they mention, and you already mentioned it too when you were explaining why you like morning workouts, is that you'll consume fewer unnecessary calories. They've proven, or they did some studies that say that you make better dietary choices if you work out in the morning, which is an interesting concept because our next topic we're going to touch on is intermittent fasting. I still can't, I have trouble saying.
Intermittent. Articulate.
Intermittent.
Intermittent. Not mintent, intermittent.
Intermittent.
Oh, goodness.
It's IF for short, okay? And the reason I started thinking about this, or I wanted to talk about it, is that I started doing some version of intermittent fasting. I still know it hitting that, mint.
You're still saying mint.
Intermittent.
There you go.
Intermittent fasting. I started doing a variation of that about probably about 4 weeks ago. I would do 5 days. I would do my normal kind of eating routine. You know, I eat several times during the day, anywhere from, you know, 3 big meals and then snacking, pretty good snacks in between. But then on Tuesday and Wednesday specifically, 2 days out of the week, I don't eat, or I eat minimum amount of calories while the sun is up, essentially. So, you know, in the morning I'll do a little coffee, but throughout the day I'll just eat small stuff, maybe something that's nutrient dense, like an avocado or some nuts. But then I'll wait till dinner to have a big meal. So I'll have, you know, a light breakfast, and then dinner is my big meal. And one of the main, it was funny that I started doing this, and then I saw on Facebook this week, one of my buddies, one of my friends, Dan Green, who's also the owner of Tough Med, and also starting his own podcast soon, posted a video from one of your favorite actors or comedic actors, Terry Crews, talking about his, discussing his approach to intermittent fasting. The reason why he does it, he only eats between 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. So he fasts 16 hours out of the day. And as he's been doing that for the last 5 years, he said. So he said it's helped him tremendously. He said he kind of cited one of the scientific things he cited was autophagy, which is essentially kind of the your body building even almost like really using the immunity to build like supercells to kind of make it boost all the different functions in your body to make you kind of like, not superhuman, it's not the word I'm looking for,
right,
but be more efficient, you know, less susceptible to, you know, infection or anything like that. So that's a really good article. We'll make sure to link the video because everybody likes Terry Crews. It's pretty funny.
Well, and one thing also to keep in mind, because intermittent fasting is one thing, but his particular strategy that he says is that he works out very early in the morning. However, unlike what you hear a lot of people say, he doesn't eat after he works out. So he's working out really early. Then he's probably waiting, you know, anywhere from, you know, 5 to 6 hours at least, probably longer. His first meal's at 2 p.m.
Yep.
So you're basically challenging your body when you get into like that fat burning zone.
Yep.
You're challenging your body to work on the stores that already exist versus feeding it new calories and, you know, something fresh to kind of work that energy off on.
Right.
But if you have to utilize your stores, then that's going to be like your fat stores and things like that. So
right, exactly.
I think it brings you, like, intermittent fasting also brings you to like closer to that level of ketosis.
Yep.
That people talk about,
right,
is that ideal efficient fat burning time period when your body is just utilizing fat versus carbohydrates or
right,
whatnot.
Exactly. It makes you, like you said, it puts you more in fat burning mode than sugar burning mode.
Right.
So, and you, like you mentioned, the fat molecule is a little bit more efficient than the sugar molecules. Sugar is good for like quick energy. And then fat is good for sustained energy. So, you know, there's some, especially certain athletes that do a lot of fast burst, you know, speed activities and stuff. They're probably more apt to use sugar. But then endurance athletes, they're the ones that are like really want to tap into that, their fat burning mode, because they need it for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
And I think it could be, it's a very good, obviously I would never prescribe it to anyone. I'm not qualified to do that.
Yeah.
And everyone is different. You know, you're different, you know, everyone has different metabolic conditions. So, intermittent fasting may not work for them.
It doesn't work for me.
So obviously, you know, this isn't for everyone. But, you know, it's been working for me, and I enjoy it, you know.
So you're feeling good.
Yeah, I do feel good. Yeah. You know, and like I said, and once you guys see this video, you'll see that Terry Crews doesn't just not eat anything. He eats little stuff, really nutrient-dense stuff, like he used coconut oil and amino acids. So he still uses some stuff to kind of probably prime his brain function so he's not, like, lethargic and just, like, completely out of it. And I do the same thing, so... But what I like about it is that I've kind of been able to reduce hunger pains.
Yeah.
So even when I'm hungry, it doesn't hit me as bad.
Well, and I think that's something, especially in our culture, and I know we've touched on the subject before, most people, and I say this, I know that hunger is still like a really big issue in the United States, but our culture does not support the idea of, you know, eating when you're hungry. It focuses on overeating.
Right.
So people who have the luxury of going to their fridge or their cupboard or whatnot and just picking up something when they feel like it, they don't really know what it's like to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to that point, and I think this probably something that this kind of trains your body to do, is that it teaches you the difference between when you're really hungry and when you're just uncomfortable because you want to consume food.
Right.
And it sort of takes a lot of those other, you know, emotional factors and psychological factors out of the food eating process so that you're experiencing it now where you just, you don't really need as much.
Right.
And I kind of went through this, a similar thing when I looked back at kind of cutting back the food that I was eating. I know we talked about it briefly last year, but focusing on food to fuel your body versus all those other things.
Right.
So it's very interesting. I'm glad to hear that you're having a good time on it.
I am. I'm having a good experience. And even the days where, like, today was my day, my first day back, because, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday I'm doing it, and then Thursday, which we're looking behind the curtain, today's Thursday, we're recording this. I had a bigger breakfast, like you saw this morning. Yep. I was making a bigger breakfast, and I didn't really have any restrictions today, but still, while I was sitting here and doing work today, you know, I wasn't jonesing. I was like, hey, it's 12:30, I haven't eaten since breakfast. So it's, you know, it's, I think it's helped me make better dietary choices and also reduce the amount of naughty things that I want in my diet, like stuff that could cause inflammation.
Yep.
Which is our next topic.
A lot of topics today.
Segway. Well, they're all kind of interrelated. So, I mean, I think it's interesting to talk about because for anybody who doesn't know what inflammation is, I found a good website. Oh, I'm going to come back to that.
Well, I think a lot of people know what inflammation is, but I don't think they know what it means in terms of, like, they know what, when you hit your hand, you get inflammation because you have something wrong.
Right, exactly. So anytime you get any type of, you know, anything when there's some sort of, what's the best way to
reaction?
Describe this? Reaction, like, obviously, some kind of contusion. You can see if there's you bang your hand, but also any type of infection. If your body has an infection, your body sends out the immune cells to basically repair the infection or to stop the infection. So that, you know, and that can result in basically inflammation.
Yeah.
So, and what we found out is that not only do infections cause inflammation, but foods can be pro-inflammatory.
Yes.
So, and then, you know, obviously if you're eating a lot of pro-inflammatory foods, your immune system's working overtime to try to reduce that inflammation.
Yeah.
And then you could be susceptible to different type of chronic diseases, i.e. type 2 diabetes or any type of immune deficiencies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people have heard, like, you know, certain foods are like poison for their body. Well, pro-inflammatory foods are basically that because they do cause this negative reaction in your body.
Right. And I found a list of some pro-inflammatory foods, and this is from Dr. Mirkin, Dr.com, and Dr. Mirkin has been a doctor for 50 years and also has his own radio show. So, and this is from 2016 of this year. He ranks the pro-inflammatory foods as sweetened beverages or sugar-added foods, you know, which we always talk about, foods made with flour, other refined carbohydrates, red meat, meat from mammals. I think there's some debate to be with that, but I would say definitely factory farm meat has a lot of more inflammatory aspects than maybe like more grass-fed pasture-raised stuff. I think this also depends on your metabolism. But processed meats, anything that has, you know, additives in it that could cause inflammation sometimes.
Hot dogs.
Yep. Because, like you said, a lot of times they're putting stuff like carbs or other carbohydrates in fillers. There for fillers, right? Yeah. Exactly. Butter, margarine, shortening, and lard. You know, being the fat fan that I am, I like butter, but you know, I think if there's the science research, I understand
like cookies
that.
And cakes, but
yeah. Well, yeah, but that's not just straight
they're
butter.
They're not always positive, you know? All the time.
Margarine, I definitely agree with. That's just fake food, if you ask me. Same thing with like canola oil or other vegetable oils. And then fried food, which is kind of, you know, talking about the vegetable oils and stuff like that. And then, you know, the carbohydrate covering that's usually on them.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Obviously, we've always talked about how we try to minimize those things in our diet, you know, except for me. I'll admit I like red meat and I also like butter. So, and I've heard some varying scientific research to support them, and, you know, it varies, but I mean, I see where his claim where it lies, or where he could have that kind of distinction or classification as red meat as pro-inflammatory. He does list some anti-inflammatory foods too. What do you think of that list?
Well, I will say that anti-inflammatory diets also very much fit in line with what people know today as the raw diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with that list because it is basically mostly raw foods you can eat raw.
Right. What has he got on there?
So you've got fruits, vegetables, nuts, whole grains, beans, coffee and tea, which are beans and leaves. And then fatty fish such as salmon, mackerel, tuna, sardines, like literally every single one of those things. I mean, I guess you could eat coffee raw, but it'd be disgusting. You can eat them raw.
Right.
And there's a reason.
Yeah, they don't – well, you know, whole grains is tough. You do have to process them to a certain extent to – but you can also – whole grains include like oats or things like that, or millet or things like that. Oh, I keep saying things like that. But obviously those are things like you are mostly in their original form, and you can either, you know, you can eat them raw or you can just cook them slightly in order to make them palatable. So, and those are all things we're big on. We love all those things. I don't eat too many whole grains, but I definitely see that they have more benefit than just refined carbs like,
right,
you know, regular white flour or – I'm getting hiccups right now. Excuse me. So I definitely could see where those are the type of anti-inflammatory food. So we said
– it makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they go a little bit into this article also about why the heck it is. Like, well, why is it raw foods? You know, it's like you're just trying to get me to eat raw yeast or something disgusting like that. No, definitely not. But the reason is because of the antioxidants and the polyphenols in fruits and vegetables and those types of raw foods. They produce their own versions of poisons and things like that because you're talking about mostly raw things that can't run away. So, you know, your lettuce isn't going to run away from you. Your nuts aren't going to run away from you. So they come up with other ways to kind of defend themselves, but in order for them to not hurt their own selves, they provide antidotes, which is the antioxidants to those strong oxidants that they also possess a lot of. So I know this is a lot, but I've actually been fascinated by this for a while.
I just like the idea of nuts running away.
I know, right?
They can't run away.
They can't run away from you, you know? Walnut, it's just going to chill there.
Yeah. Well, that's why it has the shell. It's got the hard shell. That's another reason it's protected. I know, like, things like kale, they have a certain type of acid. I believe it's oxalic acid to make it unpalatable to other, you know, to herbivores out there so they don't get eaten.
Yep. So they have to also produce a crap ton of antioxidants and...
Like you said, the antidote. Yeah.
It is the antidote to that item that they have. And so, it's kind of cool.
Right. They're very nutrient dense. And that's the thing. Eating nutrient dense food is better for you. It keeps you fuller longer and it provides you more health benefits. What we've gotten to, unfortunately, we got used to in this country, a large portion of us, is eating processed foods that have are very nutrient poor.
Yeah.
So that, and we, that means we overeat them, like you were talking about earlier. So it's a vicious cycle.
It is such a vicious cycle.
One thing we have to touch on before we end this podcast is the fact that when I do research for this, obviously I look for peer-reviewed articles on Google and looked for at the scientific studies or look for legitimate sources from doctors with, you know, high qualifications. But when I Googled pro-inflammatory foods, the first thing that came up was an article on Oprah.com.
Well, this is based on Dr. Perricone.
That's okay. But this is on Oprah.com. And I know that for the last month, we've been sitting and watching Hulu, and Oprah has a Weight Watchers commercials where she talks about she can eat whatever she wants.
Every single time this commercial comes on, she says, I love chips. She says she loves chips.
She said she can eat whatever she wants.
She's not eating 15 bags of chips a day.
She said she can eat whatever she wants. Hey, Oprah.
It's a generalization.
Look at your own website. Look on your own website.
She's a very, very well-known expert.
Granted, this is 11 years old, this article, but still.
And it's written by someone that people refer to as quite a...
I'm not mad at the author. I'm mad at the fact that this is on Oprah's website and she doesn't practice what she preaches. If this is on her website...
She's doing a commercial.
Hey, I don't care.
I'm sorry, but
Oprah.
I do not have.
Sorry, you're on the list. You're on the list, Oprah.
That just because you do a commercial for something means that you have to believe it. That's the only thing that you follow.
Yeah, but then
you think she just has. She just has Weight Watchers and that's it.
No, but
she's gonna have an army of nutritionists and a personal chef.
She's convincing people just to get Weight Watchers in order to lose weight, and I think that's misrepresenting herself.
She's doing a commercial.
Yeah, I love chips. God, if anybody else has Hulu out there and you've seen this stupid commercial, please
comment. Please share your outrage because he needs like some people to commiserate every single time.
Enough with me bashing
every
Oprah.
Single time.
It's not like, you know, I know she's queen media or whatever, but. Still, I don't like it.
She's still a human being.
I didn't say she wasn't a human.
A human? She's a human being.
We gotta shut this down, guys. It's too late for us.
Oh, wait until it gets till later. Yeah. We'll do some later podcasts.
That's what happens.
And that'll really get cookie.
We'll get some late podcasts, and I'll just start ranting on celebrities that I don't like. Anyways, I really, really appreciate it. Hopefully you've held on and listened to the whole podcast. If you have, let us know what you think. Please rate, review, let us send us feedback. You know, all the contact info will be on the outro. So feel free to reach out.
Stay in touch with us. Send us ideas. We love it.
All right, guys. This has been another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Or should I say good night?
All right, we're going. If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Test, test, test. This is a test. All right, we're going. Here we go. 5, 4, 3,